Well, welcome to the pastor's thoughts. And of course, we always lift up the prayers that we're aware of. And we pray a special prayer of intercession as we close this segment with the prayer Jesus taught, as we come into agreement with all those that are in need of a touch from God through prayer. We got a new neighbor next door, and it's been wonderful to have a neighbor that you can, one of those neighbors you talk across the fence. And it's really cool. Now, the neighbor we had before was an elderly woman, and I used to try to help her when she asked me to, and she was a good neighbor. But, you know, having a neighbor that you can interact with is something really special. So the other day, they asked me if I knew anybody that could work on their zero-turn lawnmower, and I said, yeah, I have a nephew down in Monticello that has a little part-time garage, so to speak, been doing it for 40-some years, and that's what he does. He works for the city, but he has this little business on the side. So they said, well, it don't run. And so how can we get it down there to him? And I said, well, I have a trailer. And I said, I'd be more than happy to kind of, you know, load it up and take it down there for you. And I'll take you with me. And then you can be introduced to Ron, and then you can make your own connection. So we did that yesterday, got the tractor down there to him. And we had a lot of conversations while we were driving down and coming back, and shared a little bit about my life, and found out that he is also a recovered alcoholic, and went through a divorce, and yada, 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 just similar life stories of most of us. So we got to talking and about different things, more about spiritual things than physical things, because we all are spiritual beings, and we all have a spirit that lives within us, and we know it as the Holy Spirit. And some people call it their conscience, but I like to say, no, that's the Holy Spirit that keeps me on the right track. So we were talking about the subject of about the bread of life, which is a subject that I'm talking about this week in church. So Jesus said that he was the bread of life, John 6:35, and it's one of the seven I Ams. It's really interesting. When Moses said, who should I said sent me? And God said, I am that I am. And Jesus in the human flesh said, I am. Well, in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So bread is considered a staple or a food or a dietary item. And like I mentioned in my youth message, you know, I grew up in an era with the hippies and all that, when you say, man, I need some bread. And what they were talking about, they needed some money. But bread is such a food item. It's a basic food item that comes and it becomes synonymous for food in general. And I think sometimes we even use the phrase breaking bread together. I know when we get together for the second Sunday in church and we eat after church, we always say we're going to break bread together. It's a sharing of a meal with somebody. Well, bread always plays an integral part of the Jewish Passover meal. The Jews were to eat unleavened bread without yeast during the Passover feast, and then for 7 days following the celebration of the Exodus from Egypt, when the Jews were wandering in the desert for 40 years and God rained down bread from heaven to sustain them, they call it manna. And all of this sort of plays into the scene of being described in John 6 when Jesus used the term bread of life. He was trying to get away from the crowds, but they kept following him. And he crossed over the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds followed him. And after some time, Jesus inquires of Philip, how are we going to feed this crowd? And Philip gives him an answer, you of little faith. But he said, we don't have enough of money to give each one of these even a morsel of food. And then finally Andrew brings a boy to Jesus who had 5 loaves and 2 fish. I talked about that last week in my message. With the amount, Jesus then miraculously fed all of the people with lots of food that was left over. And then afterwards, Jesus and his disciples crossed back to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when the crowd seen Jesus that he left, they followed him again. And Jesus takes this moment to teach them a lesson. He accuses the crowd of ignoring his miraculous signs, only following him for the free meal. Jesus is kind of cool in a way he would address people. And he tells them, also it's recorded in John 6:27, do not labor for food that perishes, but for food that endures eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal on you. In other words, they were enthralled with the food, but they were missing the fact that Jesus was the Messiah who had come. So the Jews asked Jesus for a sign, and that he was sent from God. And it's sort of like walking on the water in Scripture. You can read all of the miracles. They tell Jesus that God gave them manna when they were in the desert. And Jesus responds by saying to them, oh no, that true bread came from heaven that gives life. So when they asked Jesus for this bread, he startled them by saying, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Well, this is a phenomenal statement. First, Jesus is equating himself with bread. Jesus is saying he's essential for life. And the second thing, Jesus' life is referring not to physical life, but eternal life. Jesus trying to get the Jews thinking off of physical bread and into spiritual bread. And he's contrasting what he brings as their Messiah with the bread that he miraculously created the day before. This was physical bread that perished. He's spiritual bread that brings eternal life. Hallelujah. I think it's very important that Jesus made another claim to being God. And this statement is the first of the I Am statements in the Gospels. I Am, the coveted name for God, Yahweh, revealed to Moses at the burning bush. The phrase speaks of self-sufficient existence, which is attributed only to God. And the phrase that the Jews were listening would have automatically understood I Am as a claim to be deity, to be God. Well, this is an invitation for those listening in faith that Jesus is the Messiah. And coming to Jesus and making a choice to forsake the world and follow him, we're modern-day disciples, we're modern-day Christ followers, and believing in Christ means placing our faith in him, that he is who he says he is, and that he will do what he says he will do, and that he is the only one that can. Well, I entitled my message, What Are You Hungering For? And then Jesus attached these words, hunger and thirst. And again, it's noted that Jesus isn't talking about alleviating physical hunger and thirst. The key is also found in a statement that Jesus made on his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So Jesus says, those who come to him will never hunger or thirst. He's saying that he will satisfy our hunger and thirst to be made righteous in the sight of God. So, I don't know if there's anything else in history of human religion that tells us that people seek to earn their way to heaven. They have such basic human desires because God created us with eternity in mind. And the Bible says God placed the desire for eternity in our hearts. You can find that in Ecclesiastes 3:11. The Bible also tells us that there's nothing we can do to earn our way to heaven because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we got a dilemma. Is that we have a desire we cannot fulfill no matter what we do. And that's where Jesus comes in. He and he alone can fill that desire in our hearts for righteousness through divine transaction. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin because he was perfect, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So I'll close my little thought by telling you this. When Christ died on the cross, he took all the sins of mankind upon himself and made atonement for them. So when we place our faith in him, our sins are imputed to Jesus, and his righteousness is imputed to us. Jesus satisfies our hunger and thirst for righteousness, for he truly is the bread of life. Well, I hope and pray that you give some thoughts to the things that God has done for us through Christ, and how we can have peace that passes all understanding and the gift of eternal life. We do lift up in prayer all the prayers of people's requests that's in the bulletin, and also come to know about people that we talk about in church. God knows who they are. You know, you don't need an 800 number or anything to talk to God. You just say, God, I need to talk to you today. And God will listen. And through the gift of the Holy Spirit, you can either verbalize it or God knows your spirit. You know, the devil can play tricks on your mind, but he cannot read your mind. But God knows what you're thinking even before you think it or say it in an attitude of prayer. So that's why he gave us this prayer, a model prayer for all of us to follow for all of our prayers. As he taught the disciples this prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, hear that, church, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in to the Pastor's Thoughts today. God loves you, and so do I.